Mental illness costs Australia about $180 billion a year, or roughly half a billion a day, according to the Productivity Commission. It says one in two of us will experience poor mental health at some point in our lives, with about a million Australians going untreated each year. It's just published a draft report about it, and it's making sweeping recommendations on how to better treat people. Suggestions range from screening toddlers for conditions to having well-being officers in every school, better health services in the community, and more social housing. The Commission's chairman is Michael Brennan. He joined me earlier. Michael Brennan, thanks for talking to AM. You've met with consumers and their carers and heard their stories. How has that affected you and the Commission's report?
Well, it's very valuable for us to hear firsthand the experience of people dealing with the mental health system. It's a system that in many respects works quite well, but wasn't really designed to meet the challenges that now confront it.
The Commission says it can't find evidence that all the extra billions of dollars over the past decade into the mental health system has actually improved Australia's well-being. How dispiriting is that?
Well, there are individual measures, individual initiatives, programs that do have clinical evidence to support them. I guess the broader challenge is that we are spending significant sums. We estimate around $18 billion a year being spent on mental health. It's difficult to track overall how we're going because the data doesn't necessarily give you a strong sense of whether the prevalence of mental ill health is rising. Certainly community acceptance has come a long way and awareness has come a long way, but it's not clear how we're going on overall prevalence.
Now, this draft report is suggesting major changes, that state and federal governments should pool all of their money on this, that toddlers be screened, that there be more social housing, that wellbeing officers are placed in every school, that programs be put in place to support people back into education and work after an event. What will it take for all of this to happen?
Well, it'll take significant leadership and significant coordination. Part of the challenge with mental ill health is that it is a multifaceted issue. I just note as an example that we now lose more people to suicide than we lose through the road toll. We lose about 3,000 lives a year to suicide. If you go back 50 years, we lost substantially more than that to the road toll. The road toll was high and rising. And when we tackled it through a multifaceted approach, which was seatbelts and drink driving laws and safer roads, safer cars. Now, mental health is harder because it's more complex and it deals with all of a person's life rather than just one aspect of their life. And it requires coordination, not just at the level of policy, but coordination at the level of the individual. And that's something that governments have always found difficult.
Some suggestions that the Commission have made are quite simple. For example, mandatory follow-up when a person is discharged from hospital after a suicide attempt. There is proof that that works in reducing the risk of a person making another attempt. The Commission says that could be quickly implemented. Why doesn't it happen now?
That's a very good question. It does happen to some extent. It just doesn't happen systematically. So in many cases, people having been discharged from an emergency department, having attempted suicide, do have some follow-up services. Around half of them don't necessarily attend. Where that has been done, it's been shown that up to 20% of subsequent attempts, suicide attempts, can be prevented. That could translate into a reduction in suicides of 1%, which may not sound like a lot, but that's 30 lives a year. This is a context where the 1%ers really count.
And the Commission says that no mental health patient should be discharged from hospital into homelessness. How likely is that?
Many instances that we heard about where clinicians in an acute setting, in a hospital setting, want to discharge or feel that it's right to discharge someone, but there is literally nothing to discharge them to. The big gap in the system here is a stronger community-based, whether bed-based or other ambulatory services in the community that are lower intensity than an acute hospital setting, but right for people, more flexible, more clinically effective, and ultimately cheaper for the taxpayer.
Implementing your report would require a lot of political courage. Are the current crop of politicians in all levels of government capable of that?
I'm very confident that governments and oppositions across the country at the Commonwealth and the state and territory level are very committed to addressing mental health. I think part of the challenge is it's hard to know sometimes where to start because it's a large and complex system. And part of what we're trying to do in this draft report is to sketch out what the contours of a better system or an ideal system would look like in the long term. such that as governments apply themselves to that task, they can do so according to a broad strategy.
Now, this is a draft report. You haven't put a price tag on this yet. You will in your final report, and you're now keen to hear from the public. This is probably one of the most important reports the Commission's ever done. What does this mean if Australia gets it right?
Well, I think this is one of the most significant public policy issues confronting Australia. It is obviously a health issue, a social policy issue, but it is also an economic issue. We calculate that there is a direct economic cost associated with mental ill health and suicide in the order of $50 billion. But in total, the cost is around $180 billion once you take account of the years of lost life, but also years spent in ill health. So it is a very significant issue. In the long run, will it require some more money? Quite possibly. But there are a number of instances where we're proposing solutions which would involve a reprioritisation of existing effort towards a lower cost but clinically effective solution, and in many cases where we're proposing a preventative measure that could save us money down the track.
Michael Brennan, thank you for talking to AM.
Thank you, Sabra.
That's Michael Brennan, the Chairman of the Productivity Commission. And if you or anyone you know needs help, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.